Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, it's been 5 years since how we work and how we view work changed overnight. Work from home, blended work, hybrid work all came into view. My next guest thinks that these can be revolutionary tools to help us change from a work-life balance to a life-work balance. It's great to welcome Tim Duggan, author of Work Backwards, the revolutionary method to work smarter and live better, to the show. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. I am wonderful. Thank you.
Now, Tim, this is tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into writing this book.
Yeah, so I'm an Australian entrepreneur who have started several businesses in Australia. And over the course of that, I built a media company in Australia up to about 60 or 70 full-time staff. And in the course of that, really started thinking about overwork, got myself into the early stages of burnout, and really started exploring and experimenting with different ways of work. A lot of it brought on by the changes that we experienced during COVID. And I then ended up leaving my job after 15 years. I ended up spending a few years going deep into this topic of work and how we can work better. And in the process, really discovered a different way of thinking about work that has been accelerated by some of these changes that COVID has brought on over the last 5 years.
Okay, so COVID, and it hasn't been our friend for many things, but in this context, it certainly has changed things, has it not?
It has, and we're now 5 years on since COVID really upended many of our lives. And there was obviously a lot of sadness and depression and deaths and really horrible things that COVID brought. But I'm an optimist, and one of the things that I have been doing is looking and seeing, well, what are some of the positive things that changed thanks to this pandemic that we can learn from? And whilst some things have returned back to their base level, things like online concerts are not really a thing anymore, and baking bread at home is not as much a thing as it was during COVID. Some things, including the way that we work and how we work and where we work from, have changed irreparably and are never going to go back to the same way that it was in 2019 and earlier.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with you, Tim. And I've said this on this show many times that, you know, once you get a taste for working from home, be it occasionally, but if you get a taste for it, you really never want to do anything else.
100%. That's actually what has happened. I think we were told for many decades that there was only one way of working. And that for most people was an employer said, you're going to come into the office 5 days a week. The office is going to be located here. So you need to live near the office and you need to work from 9 to 5 for most people that came in and did that. And the start of the pandemic, just through necessity, completely severed that connection that we had to an office. And what we're seeing now is I think we have this understanding that work is not, all types of work are not the same. And there's different types of work that require different environments. So the solution and where most people seem to have landed on now is some form of hybrid working.
Yeah.
You said spend some time in an office or a workplace environment and some time at home. And what most people who have become hybrid workers now, which is around a quarter of UK workers and up to 40% of people who work in bigger cities like London, are finding that there are different types of work are best done in different environments. So we're actually becoming better and I think smarter workers because of it.
There's just one thing about the whole thesis around this, Tim, that I just want to sort of not challenge you on, but, you know, does the employer not hold all the cards here? In other words, if I'm in a job and I'm working 2 days at home and 3 days in the office, and my employer tells me, sorry, Bobby, you're now in 5 days from next Monday. I don't really have a choice unless I want to seek other employment. But maybe that's what you're saying. If that happens, that's what you should do.
It's a fascinating question. And I think even the fact that we are having this discussion now, 5 years on from when this started, shows that there is still power on both sides. So up until the pandemic began, employers had almost all of the power.
Yeah.
They told you exactly where to work, what to work. Then the power shifted probably too far the other way in the first few years of COVID, where employees said, well, I don't want to get sick. I am not coming to the office at all. Government said you have to stay at home, and they exerted on this tug of war that's happening. And what we're seeing now is we're actually having a nuanced debate between employers and employees around where they should work. And generally, the larger the company, the more power they have, because larger companies and tend to have also a further distance between the actual employee working and the person making the decision. And so bigger companies, a lot of them now are ordering people back to the office, but that is not the case across the board. And I think we have more power, employees have more power than we think, because we are able now to say, well, that doesn't suit me anymore. I will leave. And I believe what we're going to see over the next couple of years will probably be a bit of a brain drain away from companies that require the employees to work 5 days a week through to companies that are happy with more flexible working, because the research is starting to settle in this space as well.
Yeah. Tim, I wanted to ask you another question. If we follow through what you've just been saying there, will we end up with a scenario where I'm paid more to come to the office and less to work from home? Is that where this will end?
That's a fascinating thought bubble to think through, where I think what's happening at the moment is employers are figuring out how they can incentivize people to come more into an office. So one of those ways is through salary, where potentially that could be a path to go down. Another is a trend called office peacocking, which really stands for the idea of businesses trying to make the offices as cool and unique.
And giving people beer and pizza and all this stuff.
Exactly.
But that's also a cost to the employer. Like that, so that is an increased cost in terms of that's what I'm saying about the differential between one and the other, that it will cost more both to the employer, and they'll have to pay people more to come to the office.
Yeah, we're really entering a new era where there is this push and pull happening, and the tension in the workplace is real. And the tension between different employers is also real, where different businesses are saying, well, this is what we're going to do. What's your solution to this?
Yeah.
And there's been some really creative solutions. I have heard of a large company that is trying to grapple with this issue. And one of the issues that is inherent with this is that generally, if you're a newer employee, so if you're younger and you don't know as much, you generally will benefit more from being in the office than someone old, because someone who's been employed for a long time.
Someone like me.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't want to say it, Bobby. But a solution, a really interesting solution that one company came up with that worked for them, or is working for them, is they have said that you can have a flexible working policy. So you can have a hybrid work schedule. However, you need to earn it as an employee, and that means for your first year of employment, you need to come into the office 5 days a week so that you understand the company culture.
Yeah.
You can learn from other people. You know who's who in the zoo. You learn how the processes and systems work. And once you've reached 1 year, then you can move to a hybrid schedule and have some of those privileges.
That sounds like a really good idea, I would suggest.
I think it's a really creative solution to what is a pretty vexing problem at the moment, which is how can you ensure that this new style of working does not have winners and losers?
Yeah, and you know, I think of, you know, young kids as they are, with no real work experience, working from their flat or their bed sit, not interacting with anybody, looking at a screen all day and saying, my God, there's no fun in that.
That is one of the real negatives of this environment. And if anyone has started a new job remotely, it is the pits.
Yeah.
It is really hard. You start and you meet people only through video communication. You don't form bonds with people. And so it's interesting now that we're 5 years on, a lot of the research is starting to settle And there was a meta-analysis done recently by some very smart researchers led by Nicholas Bloom, who found that this hybrid model of working, so 3 days in an office and 2 days from home, which is starting to settle as the norm, has now proven to be just as productive in terms of output versus fully in-office peers. And the second thing, which I thought was really fascinating, was that it has also been proven that people that have a hybrid schedule are equally as likely to be promoted as those that are fully in office.
Okay.
And I found that really interesting because that's one of the biggest drawbacks of not being in the face of the people that are going to give you promotions.
Yeah, so as long as you remain, you have a connect with the office. It doesn't have to be on a 40 hours a week basis, but if you're connected for, say, 20 hours a week to the HQ or wherever it is the work is, then you will not lose out on promotion, or shouldn't.
Yeah, because it also means that on those 2 days when you're at home, you have space to mentally think about things that you can't think about when you're sitting in your cubicle and you get interrupted every 2 seconds by
Yeah.
someone coming and asking you a question. And obviously, there's positives to that because you get creativity, you build connections, you can go out for lunch with people and drinks after work. But during those 2 days when you're at home, you can concentrate. You can do creative problem solving. You can do strategic thinking. All these things that we have now realized are much harder to do in one environment alone.
It sounds a long way, Tim, from being a journalist with the Rolling Stone, as I think your early career was. Is that
Yes, I started out in a
right? You could
fairly
have done that remotely, no?
no, and I actually that was inspired by watching the film Almost Famous, where it fictionalized a young Cameron Crowe's life of traveling with a band. And I said, I want to be that kid. And that's what happened with Rolling Stone in Australia. I started covering a lot of their, particularly electronic music artists. And yes, that involved a lot of going to events, a lot of hanging with bands and artists and DJs. But then that's one side of it. The other side of it, which was me writing up stories and writing big, long features, I needed to do that at home. So that was, in a way,
Yeah.
something
So
we talk about hybrid working.
you were one of the early pioneers from working from home then.
But I think we talk about hybrid working as though it's this new phenomenon. And one, a lot of people have done this for a long time. And two, particularly look at things like flexible working. In particular, working women and mothers and new parents have really pioneered different ways of flexible working and different ways of trying to squeeze
They absolutely have. You're dead right.
whatever hours for as long as work and that's been around.
All right. Well, look, it's been a refreshing conversation. It's Tim Duggan there, the author of Work Backwards, The Revolutionary Method to Work Smarter and Live Better. Great to talk to you, Tim, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.